you'll turn to Acts chapter 17, please. Acts 17. We're going to read the text together, and then we will look at some notes this morning. I want to just continue what we've been talking about on worldviews. Let's stand together, please. Acts 17. We'll look at Acts 17 and verse 22 would be sufficient. If you're reading the King James, I want to repeat. The King James, for reasons, I guess because of historical reasons, translates the same Greek word twice in different ways. Areopagus is found in verse 19, which is really the Greek word. The Greek word is Ares Hill. And it translates in verse 22, which is where we're going to start, it translates it Mars Hill. Same gods. Romans just stole the Greek gods. They were all false. So in verse 22, Paul is then in Athens, and he's standing on Mars Hill, or the Areopagus. And he says, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious, too religious, believe it or not." And by the way, is that a problem we have? When I was a kid, people were really straight about religion. Now we have added, what, you know what we've added beyond religion? It's called spirituality. And you're going to meet many people who are spiritual, that never go to church, never have any religious affiliation. I actually think it's worse. I actually always prefer people to have zero. Spiritual, and that's kind of what you had here, just a bunch of... Verse 23, he says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." So that is really... Paul just goes after, you know, they're just covering all the bases, which is typical in polytheism. When you have lots of gods, you don't mind adding another god, and then what if you forgot a god? Well, you just add another, you know, to the unknown god, so you just cover all the bases. And according to anybody in India that I have talked to, that is typical of Hinduism. They really do not have a problem with Jesus. He just, you know, one among many. That's common. All right, 24. God that made the world, so he begins the creation, and all things therein. But he also wants to describe the difference between their gods and the living God. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, he dwells not in temples made with hands. I mean, you know, he doesn't need a place where you clothe him, feed him, repaint him. You remember the temple of Dagon when the god kept calling down and breaking off, and they had to set him up the next morning? Folks, this goes on all over the world. People do this kind of thing. He goes on in verse 25, "Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing that he giveth," as opposing to needing something, he actually gives, and he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And then this beautiful text about the issue of creation and the creation of humanity. "And have made of one blood all nations of men." And some versions don't have one blood. It just has made of one. It makes no difference. Most Greek texts has the word hematos, but some it doesn't. So your ESV, I think, will just simply says it was made of one. But you end up in the same place. "Out of one," in blood, "all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And the same God hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation." For what purpose? That they should seek the Lord. Obviously, the whole purpose of this, when they gathered together at the Tower of Babel, guess what happened? Did they seek God? No. It was the opposite. So this was for the purpose. God spread us around, gave us our own place, our space. All of this was done so that they may seek the Lord. Referencing really indirectly a passage in Deuteronomy, he says, "If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us." And there's almost a direct quote or a very close quote in a passage in Deuteronomy. In verse 28, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Then he says, by the way, even some of your own poets say as much, for we are also his offspring. Far as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and men's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, meaning God is very patient. He overlooked some of this, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. So, what do we have here, everybody? We have a world here. We started creation, we go all the way to what? Judgment. Can I say this? When you're talking to most Americans today, you can no longer just say, you know you're a sinner, right? Pray this prayer. Your problem is they prayed hundreds of prayers. They'll pray to anything at any time, and they have no idea that Christianity actually is a story. Can I say a story? It is a true story, but it's from creation to judgment, from eternity to eternity. Well, we're going to talk more about the issue of peoples today. Let's pray and get started. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name. All right, I have put all four bullet points that we're going to cover. We started last week with point number one, God created one human race. We have to begin there. By the way, the two big issues, really, when it comes to humanity, there are two big issues. If you focus too much on diversity, you end up with people being different. And may I say, our culture in America has moved that direction in my lifetime. I hear a lot of things like, well, you just know we think differently. So, I'm going to say it to you. We got folks over here from the Philippines. We got people from the India. We got people in this room from different places. Can everybody look at me? I'll wait. People are people. I haven't met any other kind. You know what I know about people, no matter where I go? They get tired. Have you met any that don't get tired? Raise your hand, please. Have you met any that don't eat? Unity is obvious. But then there is diversity. The Bible explains both. So in your notes, we're going to cover point two and three today, Lord willing. I said last week, God created one human race. We talked a lot about that. This morning, we're going to deal with two and three. God made all the races from that one human race, though I don't prefer the word races. I actually think if we think skin tone, that doesn't explain anything, because skin tone doesn't really define much about a person. I think also from the text, God made space for each race. Next week, we'll deal with God chose one race, or one group of people. I think everybody knows what group that is, through which to save all of the races. And it's also indicated in this text. All right, in your notes, we've already read the passage in Acts 17. Here are my basic thoughts about God made all the races from one human race. A, this is really simple. There are many ethnic groups, or if you prefer this term, races. I think unfortunately races has come down to meaning color in America and probably in the West, but I'm not really sure how much that really helps you, because you quickly realize going to Africa, if you're in sub-Saharan Africa, and pointing to someone that's black and saying you're black doesn't mean anything. It doesn't clarify anything. I'm just using the word as a category, kind of a way of collecting different groups. So God made all of the races, the different groups, from one human race. And I say there are many ethnic groups. How many? Well, if you read books on anthropology, nobody knows. There are so many groups and groupings and ways of grouping people. The Greek word ethnos, found in the text in Acts 17, it basically means a nation or a national group, an ethnic group, an ethnicity. Sometimes it's used for Gentile. How many again? Don't know. Number two. those ethnic groups, and here's where it's legitimate. You see, we have to be able to see unity and diversity. In one sense, we're all one, meaning human. In another sense, we are different. And lots of difference. And that's okay. And by the way, Paul wasn't, well, we'll get to that. In your notes, the ethnic groups really are different. Here are some of the things that make us different. First of all, language. So let me ask you a question of Filipinos. We got a group over here of wonderful Filipinos. Do Filipinos still see themselves as different groups? Or do you see yourself just as a Filipino? And then let me ask you a second question. If you go back 1,000 years or 500 years, would they have said, oh, we're Filipinos, or would they have said, we are this tribal group? Right. Tribal war. Today, more?
Yeah. More,
more just
Filipino.
More Filipino.
Unless you're in Hawaii.
No, only Ilocanos in Hawaii, so would, I know this.
Would that depend on who they're talking to?
You know, I don't know.
You're
that's the reason I'm asking.
If you're talking to an American, they might say they're a Filipino, but if they're talking to another Filipino, they might specify.
Correct, of course, very correct.
But would you see so obviously from the Bigo region, Mutian Roberts from Benguet province, Dada is the city slicker. Just messing with you. Pachungay doesn't know where she's from. She knows who's the Philippines, but she doesn't know where it's at. I'm just joking. I'm asking. You're talking, all right, you meet a new Filipino, you're on vacation, Robert. You talk to the person, you know they're a Filipino, you can hear an accent or whatever. Would you start in Tagalog? Would you speak English? What would you do?
Of course, it's going to be Tagalog.
And then you might ask them?
What part of the problem?
No, you're the same? So there's still. What about an American? Well, of course, Americans do pick up a category, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, because, so, Rolando, are you, what are you? No, I'm joking. I mean, no issues here. So let's just ask the question. Do you see yourself as a Tejano, a Texan?
Texan.
Kind of like a Texan. Okay. Yeah, that's, but we have all of these differences. By the way, and language plays a part.
Yes.
Yes? I do know this, when I'm out of America, in a place that doesn't speak my language, it is the most weird thing on earth that when you hear somebody speaking English, you're immediately attracted to them. You know,
my new best friend.
And you would not talk to this person in America on your life, but over there you would. Go ahead, Mike.
American has dialects as well.
Well, we do. Yes, we do.
If you talk to somebody
from
Georgia or from New York.
Yeah, there's lots of differences. All right, in your notes. By the way, nothing's deep here. By the way, cultures. Cultures are also different. So let me ask the question of my Filipinos. Do you find that traditional Filipino culture, there was differences between the groups?
Very much.
Very much. Do you feel like it's still that way, Louis? Meaning, it used to be traditional dress. You knew where a person was from the dress they wore. Is that still true today, or is that just more we're holding on, or what do you think?
He's an American.
Well, I know he's American. I'm asking the wrong guy. By the way, I think it's wonderful. Robert, what do you think?
When I went home, still going to be, they still have tribals. They still consider that one.
I know up in the mountains, those tribal groups are very much that way. But I wonder in Manila, where you kind of all get...
Yeah, even big cities are the same. Right?
Yeah.
Even in the provinces, it's a major city.
Just kind of all gets blended together. But I know in the more remote areas, people are very distinct. I find it interesting. Next in your notes, these are just thoughts, friends. Different language, culture, obviously different history. This can cause major things, major differences. Obviously, in some places, different food. Philippines in different areas have different foods. When I went to Leyte, they have two things that they say we only make on Leyte. Are y'all ready? And one of them they also make on Cebu, but they call it something different, so they don't make, you know, it's like, okay. I do know this, if you go to the UP, you know what the UP is? You know what's north of Wisconsin?
Michigan.
Yeah, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They do make a food up there that's unique.
Pasties.
Yes, pasties. Different food. I was talking to Matt Davis this week at Maranatha. Matt Davis is the, I don't know exactly his role. Can I say it this way? He runs Maranatha. He's a lawyer. His dad was a pastor in Illinois for many years. His dad's a friend of mine, and he's a friend of mine. He's going to India where I went. He only has one problem. He cannot eat Indian food. So he carries an entire suitcase, Ezra. I just love this. Filled with energy bars. So for his week or so there, he's going to eat energy bars. Mm-hmm. But by the way, we do eat different foods.
Jar of peanut butter.
And by the way, that makes us different. Very different. Well, obviously, in some cases, though, I think this one is, I think of all the things that have changed, dress, I think dress is pretty much no longer a factor. I mean, I think I said last week, almost any place you go on earth, blue jeans are now the norm for men. It just, and if they do something else, it's like they're holding on to something. And I don't say that's good or bad. It's just true. We also have ways of doing things that are different. No question about that. And probably even to some degree ways of thinking. Probably. I wouldn't take that too far because I think people tend to think more or less the same. But I don't think there's a purely American way of thinking, but there are differences. I could, you know, we could take this on and on and on if we had time. All I want us to see is this. You know, there was Adam and there was Eve. And from this, God made all the races. We have to be able to account for this, and we have to be able to account for this, but the Bible, it's not me making it up. Paul, 2,000 years ago, speaking to the Greeks in Athens, simply said, we're all one, and yet, all this diversity. I mean, he just simply explained it. So even though there is this one race, the human race, God made all the variations from that. And the only difference I would say to you is this. I think God made those differences, not just people. So it's hard, once you understand, if you read Acts 17, 26, and hath here has a noun that is implied. God hath made of one blood all nations of men. So it's not just people like, I don't want to be like them. God is behind this. So that's my point. God made all the races from that one human race. Many ethnic groups, those ethnic groups are different. See. Those differences were present in Paul's day also. Those differences were present in Paul's day also. Actually, folks, can I say this? That is the most understatement I will make all day. You know what an understatement is? You say, why? I actually believe if you go back in any culture, America, Europe, England, Scotland, every place, you go back 200 years, 500 years, I actually think there were more obvious differences then than today. We have more things that make us similar, i.e., in America, we have McDonald's all over the country. I had the kids in Bible listen to John F. Kennedy, I think I said this last week, speak. Our kids had no idea that people used to have different, very strong regional dialects. Today, that's been homogenized. It's not bad or good. So my point is, when Paul walked out into the world, what you look like, everybody knew the differences. And there were many, many more differences. I've said this in Bible many times. You know, people will say, my family's from Germany. Well, there was no Germany before 1870. My family groups came here, some of them, the Germans, before 1870. So why did they call it German? They were actually from regions, and by the way, each region had its own dialect, different dress, food. Heidi used to make some wonderful German potato salad. But her German potato salad was very different than what my mother-in-law made German potato salad. They were like two, weren't even connected, because Heidi was from the South, Jenny's mom's family was from Breslau, modern-day Poland in the north. Every place, just like in the Philippines, little differences. By the way, talk to a Mexican today. If you can speak enough Spanish, and you ask them where they're from, I'm talking about being polite, they never say Mexico. They always say what state they're from, because little cultural differences, food differences, etc. That was very not normal in Paul's day. I'm just going to touch on these verses. We don't have time to really. It's not important. I just want you to see Paul knew all about this. This is not. Sometimes in America, people are like, oh, we want to talk about diversity. Diversity has always been here. Oh, foolish Galatians. When the Gallic people, Lord only knows where they started. When they came west, I even have west here. When they came west, most Gallic people ended up today. Well, we have a different language. We use different language. The Celtoi is the Greek word, Celtic. Those are the peoples that populate England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales, ethnically. You say, what do they look like? I can already tell you. Look at Tim Durham, not Tim Durham, Tim McGrail, and look at me. We are exactly the same body. Big head, big belly, short legs. Celtic. Did you know that? Maybe you've never looked at Tim. You look at Tim and I together sometimes, I'm just like, we're the same guy. I'm just taller than you. Those are the people. By the way, when they spread west in the 240s, I think it's 240s, a group of them split off and came into modern-day Turkey. The Romans used the word Gauls, and that's where we get the book of Galatians from, the province of the Gauls. Same group. By the way, tribal groups, ethnic groups, just the norm in the biblical world, constantly. You have other things there. You have Cretans from the island of Crete, Athenians. We've already read, you know, talking that they had a certain part of their ethnicity that liked to discuss ideas and philosophy. You have Laconia mentioned in the New Testament. There's lots of others, but they had a language which we don't even know what it is. Acts 28 talks about the people on the island. The King James says Melita. That just comes from the Greek word. We today call that place Malta, same place. And Luke called them barbarians. Barbarians were the predecessors of this group. And I think this is what we call an Eddic term. Rhonda, this is for you. An Eddic term means what outsiders call you. Outsiders call them Berbers, and that is slang for barbarian. We don't understand your Berber talking. And they're pretty sure that's where the Berber term came from, barbarians. Actually, they weren't barbarians like uncultured. These were people from Carthage. These were Punic people. This had one of the greatest trade networks before the Rome destroyed Carthage. So, Emic is how we define ourselves. That's the reason I asked Rolando. I mean, I wasn't messing. How do you, you know, if you, you're obviously American, you're obviously of Hispanic descent, do you call yourself a Texan or what? You know, that's asking the person. Emic is how I define myself. Etic is how you might look at an outsider and you call them this. I was in India, Ezra. I was in Munnar. And one day they took, the driver took me to a little tea factory. It was like a tour. It was pretty neat. We go into the tea factory, and you know, I'm by myself. I walk up and there's a woman, 40-ish, I don't know. I hear her speak English, but I knew her English was from England. Now, you know there's a lot of accents in England, correct? And I was trying to figure out where she was from, and I just said, where are you from? And I said, are you from the north? And she said, yes. And then I just said, are you from Northumbria? And she was like, oh no, I'm from Cumbria. And it's like, there's that much of a difference? Yes. To them. All right. Deep in your notes. Nations, obviously, are based on those differences. That's where nations come from, friend. That's where people groups come from. And the worst news I ever got, Frenchie, you'll just have to suck this one up. This is a joke. If you do your genetics, Americans, and you find out you have German, you say, I'm German, you're going to learn something, and you're not going to like it. The French and the Germans, which have been in three wars, 1870, World War I and World War II, and they hate each other with a passion, and everything about them is different. They're basically the same genetics. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, French? No, I'm not French. Of course not. I don't know why that makes me better or worse, but yes. So nations are based on differences, meaning differences of language, culture, ways of thinking, ways of doing things. Yes, some of that's good, some of that's bad. I think the most important thing for us to get this morning is E. Who made it that way? Who made it that way?
God himself.
One of our problems is we have a hard time accepting this. Friends, when you read the text, back up in the notes, Acts 17, you have to include the subject. The subject is implied, and hath made. Well, who hath made? God hath made of one blood. So we have fundamental unity, but all of the diversity is God's opinion. It's what God is part of. Now, I say in your notes, and this is just really introduction, this is the emphasis of the verse. Very positive. If you want to read the positive part of it, it's the table of nations. Genesis 10 is normally a positive, where from Adam, not from Adam and Eve, but from Noah and his three sons and three daughter-in-laws, as the earth scattered out, the first introduction is a positive thing. So in one sense, all the diversity is positive. Now, there's also the negative, which is the Tower of Babel. And I'm going to say, I think all of us already know this. Unity is beautiful. Is diversity good? Yes, it's beautiful, but is it always good? I think you already know that, don't you? Yes or no? We use diversity to hate people. And I'm not talking about skin tone. I'm talking about everything. Last Sunday morning, I did not do a good job. I got too far afield. But friends, if you had any idea what the English have done to the Irish, look at me, 500-600 years of it. They finally backed off only since the 70s. Irish have been just mistreated by the English. And here's the funny thing. I have a book in my office on genetics written by a British guy. He wanted to find out something. Was there an actual difference between the English people, Scottish people, Welsh people, and Irish people? And you know what he discovered? The vast majority of their genetics is identical. Culturally, they're different. But the hatred and the just, oh, unbelievable things. Yes. So my point is what? I love diversity. Is diversity always good? No. It can be misused, because if you don't also have unity, otherwise there's something that keeps you together. Our biggest problem in our country is we lack unity. We don't have a common message anymore. And part of that is we don't have a common background. So for all of you that are newer to our country, let me warn you ahead of time what you're going to see. You're going to see more and more a denial that America ever had anything to do with Christianity. You're going to hear more and more about America just being secular from the beginning. Is that true? No, but they have to rewrite the past in order to have all these various groups that hate each other. So you have to have both. You don't want one to get out of control. By the way, if unity gets out of control, it becomes uniformity. So let's just speak the truth. Tony Cardenas, one of the finest men I've ever been around. When he was a kid in school, he was forbidden to speak Spanish. and they would beat your hands if you were one word. Why? Can people speak more than one language? Actually, people can speak a lot of languages. So in the past, America tended to what? Uniformity. Now we tend towards diversity, but there's no unity. By the way, friends, this is not about Sunday school, but you have to have both. There's a beautiful thing about we're all one, but there's also beauty that we're different, and that's fine too. That's Pastor Warren's belief. Maybe you have a different one, but I'd like to see you talk about it from the scripture. So, in the Bible, in this text, this is a very positive thing. God made all the different peoples. So, in your notes, and I mean this 100%, we recognize sinfulness in every group, including and especially our own group. I think if we all start with recognize whatever, however you group yourself, if you see the sinfulness within your group more than the sinfulness in the other group, we start in a good place. And then Pastor Warren's opinion again, we also recognize beauty in all. I mean, to me, that's a beautiful thing. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. So for me, I love diversity. I also love unity. I don't care for uniformity. I don't like to go to a place where everybody has to have the same haircut. And everybody has to part their hair the same. If you have hair. Mike, I still don't like you. I think that's fallacious. I think that's not biblical. All right, we don't have enough time to finish, but we're going to try. Number three. So you understand the flow of what we're doing? Number one, God created how many races? One. Number two, God made all the races, and it was God that was behind this. Some of it was judgment, yes, but much of it was positive. God made all the races from that one human race. And number three, God made space, or if you prefer, a place for each race. And I can only say this. In Greek, this is so emphasized, it's like Paul is hitting you over the head with a sledgehammer. He uses four different words, the verb and the noun of each of two of them. It's just like he's hammering this into our head. Read it, what it says. God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell. That's their home. It's not oikeo, which is a home, but it's like their dwelling place. For to dwell on all the face of the earth. And that literally is what it says. Upon all the prosopon, your face of the whole earth. And he has determined, horizo, is the base form, which, by the way, we get horizons from. So it's not only God looked and said, I want to give this group, group X, this place to dwell, which is beautiful. He says, I'm going to separate them off and put them at that horizon, this group here. This is all part of God's work. God seems to be pleased with it. He goes on to say, and he says, the times before appointed. And by the way, times is not the word chronos, which just means time. It's the proper time, the good time, the exact time before appointed. And then it uses more of the same language. And the bounds, the boundaries. So we have the noun form of horizon, or thesia, boundaries, fixed borders, limits. God then gave the specific boundaries of their habitations. And again, you have the word habitation, which is the noun. So you have two words, verb and noun, saying God made a place or a space for each race, for each group. Next page. So let's step back. I don't know if we'll finish. I want to finish with desperation, but it's too much. So let's just ask the question. I look around the room. We have people that are, can I say this? Without joking too much. None of us are from here. Everybody is from some other place. But we have people of more recent vintage. Do you realize when I look at a person, I realize God is in back of that? God was not sleeping the day my family groups immigrated to America. Hello. People and people movements, God is in back of this. So Paul didn't have the angst that many of us have with, oh, these people are different, bad. Because he saw unity, he was happy with diversity. I don't think Paul was stupid. He recognized things could be misused. But he's preaching to a group of people that he's not culturally the same. He doesn't dress the same. He doesn't look the same. But he's preaching saying, yeah, but we have all the same problem. That's the unity. We're all sinners. We're all going to face judgment. Christ died for all of us, including all the different groups. God is in back of the spaces. In your notes, where do the big questions, where do the differences come from? What did Adam and Eve look like? My answer to that is, I hope they were better looking than me. Where do different ethnic features come from? I'm just going to bullet point this, and if you want to talk about it, think about it, it would be good for you. Here are my thoughts. All people come from, are you ready? Adam and Eve. Are we agreed to that?
Yes.
She was the mother of all living. I'm assuming all means all, unless there's a reason not to think so. I say, therefore, within the two, Adam and Eve, resided all the variation we see today. So whatever we see today, it's not in the skin color of Adam and Eve. It's not that it was this color or that color. It was in the genetics. I say specifically their genetics. All people descend. So they had very rich genetics. Therefore, within the two, Adam and Eve, reside all the variation we see today, specific to the genetics. Next, all people come more recently from Noah's sons and daughter-in-laws. I'm not going to write those down, but the table of nations starts with Japheth. That's one of the sons. Then you have Ham, 6 to 20, and then you have Shem. The only important thing to remember is, though, remember that these groups were mixed ethnically quite early. So please don't do this. And because I don't have time, nor do I want to offend anybody, I've heard racism within our circles. And the racism used to be this. That was a lie then, it's a lie today. If you read the ethnic groups, look at me, and you just find out where they live, what you're going to find is immediately these people were intermixing with each other. There is no pure anything. Period. People are different. Now, there's reasons, but you can't go back to Ham and say, those are the... I might even teach him here one more time, the curse on Ham. Look at me in the eyes. Do you believe there was a curse on Ham? Well, the text actually says there's a curse on Canaan, not on Ham. But we just do a little game playing. White racists have done this in the past. Are people defending a certain culture? Just remember, the people in America that are trying to defend a certain element of culture, there's other countries trying to defend their culture. They play the same games. These three sons and their
wives.
We don't know their wives' name, but we're assuming they had wives. They started having children after the flood, and those children intermixed and went in lots of different places. So don't play the game that Japheth's are the white people. None of that means anything. And it's frankly not true, besides of that. All right, next. Though I have, by the way, I heard that, I'll be specific, from Jackie Boy Hiles at Hiles Anderson College, and another person. Since I respect the institution, I won't mention, but I heard another person on public TV try to do that. And I do respect the institution, so I'll skip over what it was. In your notes, the crystallization of specific characteristics are the result of two things. The Tower of Babel, meaning we were truly separated linguistically, and we spread out. And the moment we spread out and we're separated linguistically, guess what happens? Look at me. If this group right in this room were put on an island and had children down the road, guess what you would see? Lots of, we started looking kind of like what we all look as a group. It's just an isolation factor. I think, though there are people who differ, and please, I am very careful about believing things that I cannot prove. There are a grand total of two verses that might talk about continental drift. Actually, one quotes the other. Genesis 10:25, and this is the time of the Tower of Babel and the spreading of the peoples. And of the Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. Maybe this is talking about continental drift where the continents split. Now, an evolutionist is going to just laugh at you because they believe this happened, you know, 200 million or 2 billion or whatever years ago. But if the flood was what I think it was, I think probably it happened after the flood. That's quoted twice. Please look at me. This is not the Trinity. This is not justification by faith alone.
Plant a flag.
Don't plant your flag. Don't start a new denomination for or against. I think it's a possibility. That's all I have to say. A possibility. Next, in your notes, gene pooling. Gene pooling accounts for the different characteristics, and it doesn't take too long for this to occur. Oh my goodness, it doesn't take long for gene pooling to occur. Friends, when I got Ancestry.com, did you do Ancestry on yours?
23.
Well, they're both different. I think 23andMe is a little better, actually, with the genetics. I knew the paper trail of my family groupings from some other people that are... It was worse than I thought. I mean, they literally had it 1600s, Virginia, 1700s, North Carolina, 1800s, Kentucky into Illinois. But it wasn't me. It was everybody where I'm from. Like, how do you guys know that? Genetically? And by the way, so we start carrying similar characteristics. If you know where I'm from, no, we're not all cousins. Don't get nervous. The family tree does branch. Yes. But you know what you find? A lot of people look. Go to the Philippines, you say, well, these Filipinos all look the same. Well, they don't really all look the same, but there are characteristics of the Malay, which is a lot of Malay blood. You add a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It doesn't take very long for this to happen. Sorry, we're going to go because I am going to finish this. This is very interesting to me. Maybe it's interesting to you. So gene pooling, meaning you get isolated in the genetics pool. I'm not talking about brother and sister, nothing weird. You talk a few hundred people, friends, and or even a few thousand, and they intermix. Believe it or not, there's a lot of characteristics. Yes, where I'm from in three or four counties, I can already tell you this. In some way, I'm related to everybody just about. You know, six, seven, eight steps out, not close. You know, nobody marries cousins where I'm from. If you do, Next, God was and is both sovereignly and intimately involved in each nation or ethnic group. All of those verses you'll need to read on your own. By the way, nothing happens by accident. So right now we have a problem with immigration. Please look at me. I have beliefs about immigration. I'm a conservative, but I also don't think God's sleeping. Do you? I asked you a question. Do you? Whoops! I didn't know about this. The bottom, I'll just conclude. All of this is from verses and from the entire Old Testament. This would include things like this, giving land to the different groups, establishing kings and kingdoms. We already know this from many texts. Also removing kings and kingdoms. We also know God removes kings and yes or no?
Yes.
And then ultimately, and this is a beautiful thing to me, causing migrations. I do not think migrations are because of, climate change. Well, that's it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name.
Pastor, when you say that God gave the spaces to the different groups, it seems like there would be a danger of saying,